In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is Forgiveness Sunday, and it's an extremely important point in our spiritual lives, where we begin our great and holy Lent in preparation for the celebration and participation in the death and resurrection of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. One might wonder, well, why forgiveness? Why should forgiveness be the beginning point? And I think that forgiveness is the beginning point because forgiveness is true freedom. When after the fall, Adam and Eve became slaves to the law of sin, which worked in their members, their lives, of course, became very difficult. And soon, even among their own children, was murder and violence and abandonment and so on. And we know all the difficulties of mankind. We also should know and remember that our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ came to take upon himself all of our sins. And the law of sin itself, and to defeat it on the cross, to offer himself as a sacrifice, and to conquer the power of sin through obedience and love of the Father. And so he did this for us, so that we could be set free. That is, that we could be forgiven our sins. And so it is the very essence, in a sense, of his ministry and his priesthood for us is forgiveness. He set us free. He forgave us. And so it is, we need to appropriate this. Namely, we need to have this become part of our lives. And the way we do it is we imitate God. That is, as God forgave us and triumphed over sin and death, so we must forgive one another in order to appropriate this freedom. And what kind of freedom is it? It's a freedom from chaos. It's a freedom from anger. It's a freedom from lust. It's a freedom from depression. Because, you know, when you analyze it all, depression is the fruit of the life of the passions. That's really what it's all about. And so, if we are learned to forgive, then we get free of all of these things. And in order to learn to forgive, we have to turn our minds, as it were, toward the things of God, which is what this little teaching is about. And in turning our minds toward the things of God, we begin to behold the light that dwells in them. The difficulty with sins and passions. And passions, of course, are when the natural desires become exaggerated and twisted and perverted and so on. And so what happens is that when we turn away from our passions and those things which have become twisted and perverted in us and turn toward God, We receive his grace. We receive his uncreated energies. Once again, the natural creation is a really remarkable testament to all the truths of the Holy Gospel. Because we know when we turn away from the natural darkness toward the light of the sun and begin to see, it fills us with warmth. And in some cases, joy. I mean, how many times have we, in the very early morning, been out and the sun is rising, and you know, it lifts you up. How much more does the light of Christ lift us up and heal us and make us well? And so it is, we must forgive. And forgiving involves a letting go. We have to just let go. And it's very, very difficult. Because Our natural and carnal mind, you know, wants justice. We want justice. We want just retribution for what has happened to us. We want punishment. And now we may not think that we do. And we might deceive ourselves and think that we do. But it's not true. And really, when you think about it, this just retribution, you know, where a pagan tribe would go to war to regain their honor, as it were, or to punish someone for dishonor. And it is, it's paganism, is what it is. And it's the spirit of darkness. And what does it lead to? In ancient times, it led to death and injury. And people would blindly go off, you know, just for retribution, without any, you know, consideration for themselves, the families, and the people around them. And that's a terrible thing. And what God is offering to us is this opportunity. We've got to let go. I was talking to a man recently, and he's a very good man. And he has become really, how can I say, I suppose the word obsession would be a little strong, but we'd get the point across, with things that are wrong in society. And, you know, he goes and looks for and analyzes, looks for all these things that are wrong. And not just in society, but spiritually. So. And, you know, as I spoke with him, and he started to tell me about these different things, this darkness came. And forgive me, we're an adult group, I think I can say this. But I thought to myself, my word, this is just like a person looking at pornography and pointing out all of its evils, and then they do this, they do that, look at that, how terrible, as though that was somehow rational. Because what it does, it drags the person who's pointing out all of these things and all these faults into the darkness that they allegedly, in their minds, think they condemn. And, of course, it leads to disaster. It leads to complete darkness of the soul. And so it is, we have to turn our hearts and minds away from all offenses and all injustices toward the light of Christ, that we might receive this light, and that we might be raised from the dead with our Lord. And we say, well, we're alive. What do you mean by raised from the dead? Well, from the deadness of our soul, and the deadness of our spiritual life, and the deadness of our mind. The remembrance of sins and acts of dishonor and so on lead to blindness, literally. And there's a wonderful story in the Paradise of the Fathers. I know I've probably told it this 10 times, not 20. But this is a priest from the 3rd century. And he was arrested because the persecutions broke out in his province. And he was arrested because he was a priest and teaching the faith. And one of his little disciples, one of his followers, had offended the priest. Apparently, they don't say what he did. It was a profound and deep offense against the priest. And this disciple had never, you know, repented, never asked for forgiveness. So, when he saw that his priest was arrested, he found a way to get to visit him and ask his forgiveness. Because he did not, because it was obvious that the end result was the priest was going to be martyred. And he didn't want, you know, to have, he didn't want to have this on his soul. So he went to the priest and confessed his sins, and the priest said, no, what you did was just, I can't do it. I just can't let go of it. And so again he went to visit him. And again the priest said, I can't let go of it. And then the priest was being taken from prison to the place of martyrdom. And along the path, his parishioner, his disciple, went to him, and in front of all of the guards and soldiers and so on, begged for forgiveness. And the priest said, no, I cannot forgive you. I can neither forgive you in this life nor in the life to come. And all of a sudden, the priest looked bewildered. Why am I here? And the soul said, well, because you refused to offer incense to the emperor and you confessed Christ. He said, no. Something's wrong. That's not true at all. I'll offer incense to the emperor and I'll confess Christ. And immediately they set him free, and his disciple went in and said, I confess Christ. And they took him and martyred him. And it's a great story, but it's very instructive, because the bottom line is we can lose our faith through spiritual blindness. Because faith is a gift. It's a gift from God. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And you can lose it. And you can lose it by hanging on to darkness. And it's hard. It is hard. I know it's hard because I've been through it. I'm going to tell you, I have been through it. I've had many things happen that, in the world they were unjust. But the fact of the matter is by the grace of God, somehow, and by His mercy, even if it was the last moment, but at the right moment, I could see, I've got to let this go. I've got to let this go. And trust that God will provide. You have to trust that God, you have to really believe in God. And you have to believe that God's involved in all the affairs of your life. And I'm telling you, it's true. I'm telling you from experience, it's true. I know. I've seen it over and over and over again. Where it seemed like it was a desperate situation. Something had, things had gone wrong and it was all unjust and so on. And then just like turning to God and letting go. In this very gentle and in the beginning unnoticeable way, things just changed. It's like the sun came out. The haze burned away, and the path was shown. And it's very difficult. It is difficult. And it also involves the deepest inner core of our being, which is our self-will, our will. And it's really hard. If you've been a very self-reliant person, and if you've been a person where it seemed like since youth, when you started to do things, everything seemed to work out. It didn't matter what the problem was. You could rise to the occasion and find a solution. And that's good in a sense. It's good. It's good that people can find solutions to their difficulties, But when things really get difficult, and you find yourself in a situation where you can't find a solution of your own, how do you, say to the old man that's so smart and so clever and so innovative, just step aside. I am going to give my life to my Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm going to trust that He provides. How do you do that? This is not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing to do. And of course, with forgiveness comes freedom. But with freedom comes obedience. Doesn't that sound strange? It's paradoxical to the old man. You mean freedom is won in obedience? What are you talking about? Freedom was do what you want, when you want, wherever you want. No. Through true forgiveness and letting go, we have to confront ourselves and our pride. And Christ, in His infinite love and mercy, gives us true, genuine freedom. And obedience is at the core. And you know something, brothers and sisters of Christ, of God, we are so blessed to be Orthodox Christians. We are. Because we have been given guidance in all of the spiritual tools. And most of the time, we don't even realize it. We just don't know. We don't know that just keeping the fast is divine obedience, and that it brings the light of Christ into our hearts and minds, and that it weakens the powers of the passions, which are like magnets, you know, clinging to the world, like clinging to pride. It weakens those energies and allows us to tear them away from those things that darken us and give them to Christ through faith and obedience, to prepare us, to attach us to the way of life he has given us. And this, he's given us all of this for us to partake of and to help us and to guide us and to lift us up. And it is a miracle beyond all miracles. Salvation is the greatest miracle. People would like to, you know, see diseases cured instantly, crutches, you know, stack of crutches in the back room or something as a shrine. But the truth is, the greatest miracle of all is God's forgiveness of us, which allows us and frees us up to freely choose to worship him and to obey him and to live according to his commandments and to gain the gift of salvation. All the riches in the world are for naught without the gift of salvation. And so here we have this time where we're prepared to turn ourselves over to Christ in the context of the Holy Fast and to let him into our lives. Let him inside. Through obedience, through repentance, through love and kindness, let him in so that we can be healed and know the gift of salvation. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Patriarch of Moscow, Norris.